When the night is long, when I yearn for deep peace to come, I strain to hear your song. Suddenly I know that I'm not alone, for you settle over me, dispelling all my fears. My Father, I know you are near, and may yours be the only smile I need to see, and may you be the healing washing over me. With your arms around me, your peace, set out on this road. So many voices call out to my soul. They try to fill my cup, and I have found, sweet Lord, since you're my enough, so I'm staying close. Hold me to your side, my Father, the joy of my life. And may yours be the only smile I need to see, and may you be the healing washing over me. With your arms around me, your peace surrounds me. May it only be you I cling to. Break any hold this world has on me. I'm letting go, and I throw myself at your feet. There's just one thing, single thing I need, is to know the very one that formed me. May yours be the only smile I need to see, and may you be the healing washing over me. With your
bless you. It's good to be with you this morning. Sorry that we have so many out. I was counting. I think we got about people missing from about five different households, I guess, or something like that. And so, but the Lord knows all about it. He knew about this thing before the world ever began.
Yes.
And so it didn't catch him by surprise. And therefore, if we have our faith and confidence in him, it won't catch us by surprise either.
That's right.
And man, he is our victory. So we just appreciate God's faithfulness to his word, and we're just going to trust him as we go forward this morning. Lord willing, I won't try to keep you too long, but I've said as many times in the past, or as I've said many times in the past, that, you know, you hold that, you know, because you understand the concept. Whenever the people pull on the word, then it makes the minister stay longer than he wants to sometimes. But anyway,
yeah.
my intention is to not be real long this morning. But so let's open our Bibles to Job chapter 19. We're going to title this morning, Proving the Seed. Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. And then we'll also go to Job 38 after that. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you love the Lord, that means you got to love each other. Job chapter 19, verse 25. For he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." In Job chapter 38, verse 1 through 7, we read this one the other day, I believe it was. And the book of Job was very interesting. It's an interesting book. But after all the gainsaying back and forth between all of them, he finally gets to the place where the Lord speaks to Job and kind of brings a rebuke upon Job, but also does another aspect that Lord will and will talk about this morning that applies to you and I too. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." I can almost hear it. If you're so smart, Job, tell me. Tell me what was going on back then. Where were you at? "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon the foundations thereof are fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all of the sons of God shouted for joy." Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for this people and this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we you're the reason we're here. If it had not been for you to intervene in our lives, Lord, who knows where we would be. Some of us probably would be in eternity now. But Lord, by your mercy and grace, you've called us, you've got our attention, Lord, and so we're asking God that through that same voice that has spoken to us so many times, that you'd speak to us today. Call us to attention, Lord. We know that the word that's laid down in our heart is quickened by you, and so we're asking God that that's what we do today. You just quicken the word, both the word that we speak from the scriptures, from the message, and the word that's in our heart. We love you, Lord. We're asking God you go to those that are missing today, that you would just lift them up, both in spirit and in truth, and also in their bodies, Lord, that you bring healing. Let the benefits of Calvary touch each one. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. May the Lord bless you. Proving the seed. You know, when you realize that the scriptures always tells us, you know, that every seed has to bring forth fruit of its own kind. When you have a seed, and this is important because I want you to pay attention for you to understand that you as a Christian, now this is something that Brother Daniel and I were talking a little while ago, and I said, you know, when Jesus came here, they just could not, religious leaders of his day, just could not believe that he was the promise of the Word of God. They just couldn't see that this was the plan of God, and that this man was the fulfillment. They just couldn't see it, and they crucified him because of it. And we know that he has a bride at the end time will be word of his word. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, and word was made flesh. So she'll be word. And the denominations throughout the years, they have twisted the Word of God to such a degree they have totally, completely ignored and trampled over the predestination of God. They've got it all fixed up in such a way that when this bride manifestation is fully declared before them, they just can't see that this is the case. Them people back then, they just couldn't see that, as Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, but they are they that speak of me," because it was speaking of him.
Right.
But But they had been convinced that the program of God was totally in them, and if anybody was going to be saved, anything was going to happen, it was going to come through their program.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't see that it wasn't with them. And that's the way it is today. They just can't believe that these people off over here that believe some little something or whatever, they just can't believe that that's the way God's going to work. It's got to come through their system.
Yeah.
And so, but what I wanted to, they've ignored predestination, that there is a predestinated plan of God, and you cannot be a child of God unless you were all along back in the gene of God. And so, you know, the world teaches you that you could be, you know, that you're not a son or daughter of God, and then you go to the altar, you repent, and now you become a son or daughter of God. And that can't be any further from the truth of what it is.
Yeah.
You are a son or daughter of God, you just didn't know it.
Right.
And it had to be quickened to you, and it's a lifelong process for it to be quickened to you, for you finally to realize who you are. But once you realize who you are, see, then Satan can't do nothing with that because it's a revelation.
Right.
And so the world teaches all that, but for a people to stand up and say, I came to this world even though I was a sinner, I am a part of God.
Yeah.
And now I know I'm a part of God. Mm-hmm. They will crucify or try to crucify the bride because of that, and that makes her the mate to Jesus Christ, see? Because the scripture says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Persecution. Not maybe, not some,
right.
But all, they shall suffer persecution. Why? Because if you're living in godly in Christ Jesus, the world's going to hate you.
That's right.
They're going to look at you like they looked at him. And so that's just the way it is. But you know what? The apostles, when they were beat, they went out rejoicing because they were counted worthy to be beat,
yeah,
for his name. Do we feel that way about Christianity this morning? If they came in here with whips and went to whip us, would we go out and be happy, rejoicing? I would hope so. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's an honor to be able to represent him but we've got to live in such a way where the world is going to see us in that way. And it's not that we want to make the world reject us. We're just saying that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to be after you.
Yeah.
And so they've ignored the fact that predestination is there. And so now I'm going to bring it back to the sermon here. Was every seed brings forth fruit of its kind. Mm-hmm. And so when you come into this world, you got a seed gene down inside you, and you can't be anything other than that. Like I said the other day, you could take I might say it in different words, but take a tomato plant. I mean, it is what it is because of the genetics that's in it.
Right.
Because you take a seed of a tomato plant and a seed of a pepper plant, they're two different genetics, but both of them reach into the soil, take in the same nutrients, take in the same rain, they're in the same dirt,
yeah,
but they produce totally different results.
That's right.
What's the difference? And the difference is the gene inside is what makes them different.
Right.
See? And you can take that tomato plant and you can slap it and you can beat it and you can tromp on it, and you'll never change what it is. It'll always be a tomato plant because you can't change the gene.
That's right.
And you can't make yourself a son or daughter of God. All you can do is find out that you are a son or daughter of God.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you find that out? It's through the preaching of the word that something inside you knows that that's true and believes and comes to life, because that's you realize there's something in you that's not what the world says it is. You realize that there's something in you that's different.
Yeah.
There's something in you that believed. I remember as a kid, I believed.
Yeah.
I knew as a kid that it wasn't an apple they ate. I'm serious. I've told you that before. I remember standing right out in front of that old station wagon that was right beside the garage right there, and some of the other cousins was walking around the backside, and somebody said something about it being an apple, and I remember standing right there in the driveway and said it was not an apple. I didn't know what it was. But I knew as a kid, I'm talking 4, 5, 6 years old right in there.
Yeah.
I remember that just as sure as anything. Mm-hmm. See, you come in this world, and so now through the ministry, the end time ministry, now we're beginning to realize who we are. And so we're getting to the place where we're not going to be trying to believe we are who we are because of influence from outside. Because remember, the seeds, they all take in the same thing, but they produce different results, right? So we live in the same world, but we're going to manifest Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See? Brother Daniel can sit down and eat the same beans and cornbread that I can sit down, and he'll take those beans and cornbread, and he'll go out and he'll manifest Daniel Black, and I'll go out and manifest Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
We've got to realize that if we're ever anything for the Lord, it's already there.
Man.
We can't make it. We can't fake it. We right. can't take it away.
Right.
All we can do is seek God to find out about more of what it is.
Amen. Praise
and then live that. Amen? And put our confidence in that. And while the government's falling apart and doing all the things, we can say, praise God, I know what I am.
Amen.
Let them do what they want, but I am what I am.
Yes.
See? And so that's where it is. And it's not in how well you ran and how well you, or how bad you didn't run. It's not how much tithe you paid or how many times you've been to church.
No.
It's the revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart telling you, I know where I come from and I know where I'm going.
Amen.
That's the difference. And so the world, they just totally missed it. Christianity, what they put out there, totally is wrong. The scripture said, because you are sons, he has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. The world teaches it that you're not a son, and then when you repent, then he'll send that in there because you repented. But the scripture said, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba. He has come in, and now you have a life in you that's crying out, Abba, Father. But He sent that to you because you were a son to begin with.
Right.
Amen. I love the Word.
Amen.
I love the fact that it is so sure and so certain if you just stay with it. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, the Constitution of the United States works until you let down the bar on one thing. And then there's insufficiencies elsewhere because now you're trying to deal with something that's being handed to you that's not right.
Yeah.
Just got to keep it all. And if you keep it all, it takes care of everything. And the Word is the same way. You got to keep all of it. And if you stay with all of it, then it'll fix it all. It's everything's there, see?
Yeah.
And so, every seed brings forth fruit of its kind. And so when a seed comes, it comes forth, that seed, you know, how do you prove it? How do you prove, and all I can say is just it's just the conditions and all the things or whatever for a seed to prove what it is. It just absolutely, no matter what's going on, it has to manifest the fruit of what it is.
Yeah.
It just has to be what it is. Whether it's a lot more rain or a lot more heat or whatever it is, all it can do is produce what it is. And so you prove that seed when it's able to absolutely put forth fruit the same as what went in the ground. Now, Jesus Christ was the seed that went in the ground, and now he's been coming forth, and there's a church at the end time that will manifest exactly the same thing that went into the ground. And so, how do you do that? There's a proving system there, a proving ground that shows it what it is. And so, a tomato, you know, when I'm thinking of red tomatoes, some of them aren't. But let's say it's supposed to be a red tomato. Well, it's going to have to produce that. And when it's all over and done, when that fruit's going to be there, and inside that fruit is going to be the germ of life, that you can take that out of there, and you can plant it in the ground, and it can go on and produce more after that. Now, you realize what I'm saying here. Now, this is a tall order, okay? But if the life that was in Jesus Christ, it was buried before the Dark Ages, and now it's come up through a restoration and coming all the way down to an end time, it's going to be resident in the bride. And there's a bride who's going to put forth total, complete fruit to show that Jesus Christ is alive and well in her. Then that means you could take what's in her and you could do another plant of redemption with it. Plant it right in the ground and come right out and redeem by that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because every seed has to bring forth fruit of its own kind.
Right.
This is what is alive in you and I. There's something laying within you and I that, as we said the other day, we could speak a world into existence and go live on it if it wasn't held back by the law of faith. Brother Man said, if you've got any part of God in you at all, even just a smidgen of it, then you've got eternity, you've got infinite ability there that's laying within you. And so all it takes is the quickening or the releasing of that by faith. And whatever God allows you and leads you to believe by faith, he will give to you.
Yeah.
Because you've got in you the experience that can produce it.
Right.
It just has to be released. And so this is why we've got to be focused on this. And not on everything in the world, but we've got to nurture that understanding of who we are and stay tuned and stay focused in the life of the royal blood. Amen. And so there's a proving ground, and that just shows that it is what it is, and nothing can change that. So we see here in the scriptures that Job was the son of God. He was the seed of God. And Job couldn't be anything other than what God had predestinated him to be. And it just so happened that when Job came into the world, he was going to be, his manifestation was to be what we read there in the scriptures, in the face of all opposition and everything that happened to him, to not sin and to not charge God foolishly. That's what the scripture said. That just happened to be his lot. You say, well, it's a hard time, Brother Tony. We got COVID, we got this, we got that. We ain't had as much cases as what Job had. But it was just so happened that it fell his lot that he had to manifest the sonship of God in his day under the conditions he was in. Kicked out, stomped on, knocked around, but he couldn't be anything except Job, the son of God. And so the conditions proved it. And when it was all over and done with, he come out as gold. Shining forth as gold, as the scripture said. We know that song, right? I like that song. Because we all can identify with that. From time to time, we realize. And so, Job was the son of God, but nothing could move him off that. But he had this period of his life where he lacked inspiration. Brother Ram talks about this. And so Job lost just about everything. He lost his wealth, lost his children.
Yep.
His wife told him he might as well just give it up. Mm-hmm. He lost his friends, his honor. Even the little kids didn't respect him anymore. He had a man who was fully respected, and he helped people. The scripture taught me he helped people and did things, and the people that needed it, he was there, and so forth. And it looked like God had totally abandoned Job. Mm-hmm. And every bit of that was just simply the environment that had become to show what he was. And so Job needed something. He needed something to, and we read the scriptures there. But he needed something there. He had a hunger and a longing to know that it was settled.
Yeah.
Because he believed God, and he did the things that he should have done. He offered sacrifices for his family and for his children and so forth. And he knew that he had done everything but yet it wasn't settled with him.
Yeah.
See, just like the get rich young ruler came to Jesus, said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Well, he said, "Do this, this, this." And he said, "Well, I've done all that for my youth."
Yeah.
But Brother Ben said it this way. He said he wanted eternal life, and he knew he didn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had kept all the commandments, but he knew that he didn't have it. That's why he was asking.
Right.
Right? And so Job had done all these things, and even though he'd done all these things and stayed, he needed something to settle it. Mm-hmm. Something that would finish it off and let him know, "I know who I am. And I can go through this trial just fine because I know who I am." You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, looked like God had abandoned him. But Job needed a revelation. And I say that because that's what Brother Ram talked about. Job needed a revelation. He needed inspiration to understand. And so he went through all this period of time where all these comforters came along. And there was three of them, three men that were supposed to have been his friends, so-called comforters. And they came and they were there supposed to comfort him, and they wind up being agents of the devil.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so, let me go ahead and just read this, a little lengthy reading where Brother Graham says this about Job in a message I have heard, but now I see. And he said, now Job knew that God had told him that he was just. But they, the comforters, they made him a sinner. So he waited for the inspiration. Satan getting in all the people, and when his comforters, so-called, and they accused him, but it didn't move him a bit. But when the word of God became vindicated to him, he had heard of God by the hearing with the ear, but one day, sitting out there at his lowest point, and while he was sitting there and everyone accusing him and even his wife telling him he was wrong, he was scraping the boils, and Elihu came down and rebuked him for being selfish and the way he was accusing God and so forth. And then at that time it was when inspiration struck him, and that's when the lightning began to flash and the thunder began to roar. That's when inspiration struck the prophet, and he raised up and said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and at the last days he'll stand up on this earth, and though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I'll see God, whom I shall see for myself. Now, he had been talking about trees. I'm like, Joe, we've been talking about trees and botany life and how it dies and lives again, and water brings it back, the smell of water, or scent of water. The results of water pouring upon the tree or something, a seed that went down in the ground. And he said, but a man layeth down, he giveth up the ghost, his children come to honor, he perceiveth not. And oh, that thou would hide me in the grave till thy wrath be past. He said, but if a man die, shall he live again? All the appointed times of my life, I'll wait till my change comes that will call me, and I'll answer. Thou hast appointed me bounds, and I cannot pass, so forth. He knowed all these things. He watched the tree live. But what happened to a man when he died? He didn't raise up again. So God was showing him his Redeemer. He wanted to see if there was someone who could intercede for him. He had interceded for so many people, but now is there someone who can speak for him? Could there somebody put his hand on Job or on a sinful man and a holy God and bridge the way? Could he go to his house, knock on the door, and would he come to the door and talk to him a while? But then when the inspiration dropped into his heart, then he could see God. The lightning flashed and the thunder roared. And when it did, he stood on his feet and said, I know my Redeemer liveth, my Redeemer. And in the last day, he'll stand on this earth. See, he began to see God's reaction to his faith. So Job needed something there. And what he needed was to have a revelation. And he had a vision and realized. But my point is that what he came to was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, he was a very wise man, he was a rich man, he was a famous man, he was, you just imagine, he was probably the Donald Trump of the day, except he was a righteous man,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So, but he was well known and rich and so forth. But all those riches didn't help him. And all those times that he did what was right, all those times that he sacrificed and did all the things that he did for his children and helped people, none of that stuff gave him the answer. And he had comforters come along, and every one of them had all kinds of things to say and talking to him. And they were supposed to be comforters, but they became critics.
Yeah.
And nothing they said had the answer.
Right.
None of them had the answer. And they got rebuked also because they were there and should have been helping and should have come to bring the situation to where it would be better for Job, and they didn't. And they got rebuked also because they didn't have an answer to the situation. And all they were was accusers. See, God doesn't want us to accuse people and say, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. And not, you know, you got to tell people, you got to live. But he doesn't want us to go and do it in such a way that we leave them without recourse. We've got to take salvation to them.
Yeah.
And sure, that means they've got to understand that they missed the mark. But live it in such a way that you give them hope. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
And so Job needed this, and these guys, they didn't help him. They didn't do anything to help him. They just were critics.
Yep.
And so all of his sacrifice, all of his obedience, all of his wisdom, the debates he had with those men, none of those things provided, but a revelation did. Mm-hmm. A revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so I want to kind of type this out just briefly for a moment, these three comforters, as being justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. And Elihu was the guy that came after those three. That'd be the message. All right? So now, as Christians, and we know that justification is a true message from God, sanctification, true message, baptism of the Holy Ghost, true message from God, and in their day they were right. Those doctrines are to be comfort to us. Those things are part of our, you know. So these guys were coming to Job, and they were supposed to be comfort to him. So one of them was justification, but turned out here in this end time under this trial, it turns out that you can hear all the justification messages you want, but they don't give you the answer.
Yeah.
You follow me? Mm-hmm. You can listen to all the sanctification messages there is and say, you know, you're justified by faith. You're justified by faith. You're cleaned up and set apart, sanctified. And it doesn't settle what we need.
Yeah.
We can hear all the sermons, and I have. How many times have we heard sermons? You got to have the Holy Ghost, and you do.
Yeah.
You got to have that Spirit of Christ in you.
Right.
And you do. But just hearing that justification, hearing that sanctification, just hearing it, sitting there back and forth, and hearing that doesn't do it.
Right.
It required something else.
Yeah.
Something greater than that. And so you find out in the book of Job, after those guys go back and forth, and Job held his position. And the reason why he held his position, because he knew he was the Son of God. He knew down inside something was holding. That word, that seed gene was holding there. It was being tested,
yeah.
Being tried, but it was held there. And all these comforters, no matter how much they condemned, no matter how much tried to prove, there's no way, Job, there's no way you're righteous. This and that and this and that, and this just can't be this way. And yet he knew down inside something said, no, I know I belong. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so after all that happened, then this fourth guy come along, Elihu, I think is the way you say it. And he was a gentleman. Because he said, you know, I held my peace because you, Mr. Justification, Mr. Sanctification, Mr. Holy Ghost, y'all are older than me. This would be a good one for the young people to understand. Give honor to the older. I was explaining to my grandson because he just didn't understand why he couldn't just say and interrupt. And I said, look, you know, you're the young guy. And, you know, your elders, they take care of you. They feed you. They watch out for you. And they have to tell you no. And they have to do things, you know. And I said, one of these days you'll be grown up. And then the little ones will have to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to bring some sort of satisfaction to him.
Yeah.
To understand. But there's a process here. And even right here. So here's this guy comes along and he's... And I look at him and I think of Brother Brandon. But he comes along and he says, you know, may I give my opinion here? And so he does. And he begins. And in the whole thing, these other guys were rebuked. And Job rebuked. And so forth. What does he do? He takes all the things that are all out of kilter and he straightens them out.
Yeah.
Everything that justification didn't fix, sanctification didn't fix, baptism, he put it all in a perspective, and he came later than them. Mm-hmm. So it had to be a ministry after 1906.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when all that was done, then God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. And when God spoke, in other words, after these three comforters, after the justification, sanctification, Pentecostal movement of 1906, and then the ministry of William Branham, and after all that had taken place, then God speaks to Job, and where does God take Job? He takes him all the way back into the mind of God before the world was. And said, Job, where were you? And that's what I asked you. You've been in Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, you've been in all these different churches, you've been in Pentecostal, you've heard how you need the Holy Ghost, you're justified by faith, you know you have to live a sanctified life, you know all that. But there was a message came and straightened things out. And now that message has spoken and straightened things out, then you are beginning to hear the voice of God speak to you, and what is he telling you? Where were you? And you're hearing, I was there. I was there. I was one of those sons of God that shouted for joy. And so we find out through all this that no matter what Satan tried to do to Job, he could not take that away from Job.
No.
And I say that. I'll say it this way. Satan threw everything at Job he could.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say it that way, but simply because of this. Because God told Satan, go do what you will. Just don't touch his life. Right?
Right.
And so Satan can do whatever he wanted. And what he did didn't work.
Right.
Because he could not defeat that seed gene of life that was in Job. And even though Job was sitting there and everything had fallen apart around him,
yeah,
all he needed was inspiration to catch what it was, where he was.
That's right.
And so he had to sit there and be tested and tried, tested and tried. But at some point, the dynamics moved.
That's right.
Upon the mechanics that he had, and the dynamics moved. And when that inspiration struck, he saw that it was all settled in Jesus Christ. He saw his Redeemer.
Yes.
And God spoke to him and showed him the beginning. Amen. So no matter what Satan tried, he just couldn't take it away. And I say that to say this to you, that there's not one thing Satan can do to you to change who you are.
No.
He'll try, but listen, I don't care what you're going through. If you wind up with COVID and you're having a hard time breathing or something like that, that cannot change who you are. None of that will change you. The whole world crashing around you, and all you God controls it. You know, Job wasn't in control of what the test was and how long the test was. Mm-hmm. Job wasn't in control of that. We're not in control of what we were confronted with.
Right.
But just know that nothing can change that inside you. You are who you are. And if you just have to sit there and you don't feel inspiration and you don't feel good and you don't feel whatever and nobody and everybody's turning against you, just like Job, if you find yourself just like that and all your friends that used to be your friends are now your critics, and you don't feel good, you're sick in your body,
yep,
you know, things are gone, you've lost your finances, you've done all the, just know that none of that changes who you are, and you just sit there and say, I'm a child of God, I'm being tested because I believe. And I'm just waiting for God's inspiration. I'm just waiting for the dynamics to fall upon these mechanics that I have of believing the Word. Amen? And so, but Job stayed true to the Word no matter what Satan did. So, you know, also we've talked many times about on Mount Transfiguration. So what Job needed was the revelation of Jesus Christ. That settled it all for him. And then once that hit, then the Lord restored to him. And that's the whole thing. After all this comes, and we catch that revelation and we realize we come from there, then at some point after that, God's going to restore everything to us and then some of what's been taken from us by the devil.
Yeah.
There's your story of Job, but could go in a lot more details on that. But on Mount Transfiguration, we realize that Jesus, you know, he went up there and he was lifted up and he was arrayed in white raiment. And so we realize at that point is when he came to full adoption, went through the ceremony of adoption. And let me just rehearse that so I make everybody get their mind on what we're talking about here. Bible adoption is not like our adoption, where we would take someone who's not part of our family, that, you know, some orphan somewhere, and we go and we adopt them and make them part of our family. That's not what Bible adoption is. Bible adoption is the placing of a son who is a son in that family, but placing him into authority to be equal with the dad. That's what Bible adoption is. You can find this in Galatians. And that child, he has to be no different than a servant until that adoption time comes. But once that adoption ceremony comes, then he's equal with the father. And so his name's on the check. He's in authority. And so when that would happen, whenever that man would have a son, and he'd have tutors, he'd have teachers, and they would teach that son and teach him the business and teach him everything. And when the son finally got to the place where he could handle the business, where he could handle the authority, he would do things right. In other words, he'd be just like the father. If a certain situation happened and the father would act a certain way, the son would have the character to act the same way the father would. He would not do anything different. So when the son got to the place where he was mature enough to handle it just exactly the way the father would, then the father says, okay, now he could be an authority.
Right.
So they would have a ceremony where that father would take the son before the people, put him up on a high place like a scaffolding or something like that, set him up here real high where all the people could see him, and he would put a white robe on his son, and he would make an announcement to all the people, this is my son now, he's being adopted, he's authority, listen to what he's got to say. Because if he comes into the feed store to buy feed, you're selling the feed on my account because now he's me.
Yeah.
He's me. He's same authority, no difference. See? Mm-hmm. And so that ceremony told everybody he's in authority now.
Yeah.
See? So on Mount Transfiguration, this is what happened to Jesus. When he went up there on a mountain and his garment showed white, and Moses and Elijah appeared there, and the disciples were there, some of them saw it. And they're there, and they see Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And so Peter gets all excited, and he's like, when it's over with, he's all excited. He's like, this is good, Lord. Let's make three different like a statue or whatever, or a pile of rocks or a monument or something like that. Let's make three of these, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. And while he was saying that, this voice speak from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Now you realize when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, that voice spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased." But he didn't say, "Hear ye him," at that time. But on Mount Transfiguration, he did say, "Hear ye him." So he had just been lifted up on a mountain, white robe put upon him. His garment shone white. Moses and Elijah appear there. They've been gone for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? They appear there. They've got witnesses, and they're seeing it. And a voice says, "This is my Son. His name's on the check now.
Yeah.
Hear him." So that was Jesus just simply going through his own personal adoption according to God's rules. He had to come to that before he could go to Calvary. And he went from that to Calvary, fulfilling the word of God, obedient to the Father. Staying with the Father's plan like that, and yet he has all power. He said after that, he said, "Don't you know that I could call for the angels and they'd come and change the situation?" But he didn't do it, because that would have not been the way the Father's will was.
Right.
You know, you can say, "Man, your fields are terrible this year, and you're going to have all kinds, you're going to have to spend all kinds of money on fertilizer, or you're not going to have a crop." Well, he had authority. He could have said, "You know what, I'm just going to take this money, I'm just going to buy another farm." But if the Father wouldn't have done that.
Right.
So he didn't.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He had just, and so when the plan of God said, though you come into authority, and now you can use that authority however you want to, but he had the character that he wouldn't use it wrong.
That's right.
And that authority, he took him to Calvary and laid his life down having that authority.
Right.
You follow me? He could have done totally different, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. Now, Brother Ram says that was a preview, just like whenever they have a movie. He said, "I have a movie," and they could get some people come in and see a preview of the movie before the general public gets it.
Yeah.
He said when that happened on Mount Transfiguration, that was a preview of the sons of God coming to adoption, which would be here at the end time,
yeah.
Right? And so when the sons of God come to adoption, what are we saying? That when the family of God, when the sons of God, when they come to their place, when they're ready to handle the authority, that he's going to give them that authority.
Yeah.
And they'll actually have in them the ability to speak a world into existence and go live on it if they wanted to. But they'll have the character in them to not disobey the plan of God, and they'll go right on with the plan of God just like God would, because now they've got that character, and it has grown up in them. That gene that was there all along is now quickened and made alive and matured to the level. Now they can go in the strength and wisdom and knowledge of God and never break that, even though they've got the authority to do something different.
Yeah.
That's what we're coming to. Mm-hmm. You realize that? Going to have the ability to speak, but say the right thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we've seen with Sister Hattie Wright?
Amen.
See what I'm saying? She was given the ability to speak whatever she wanted. And what did she speak? Brother Bam, she said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, there's your sister," I think it was, Edith or whatever, who was crippled all those years, and they prayed and prayed and prayed, and she never healed. He said, "Pray for her." He said, "You're a poor woman. There's people all around the room." And he said, "It's thus saith the Lord, you're a poor worm, and poor woman, ask for $1 million and see if it don't land in your lap." Isn't that right?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
He totally gave to her the ability to speak. She could have said, I want a total new planet out there and for all the believers to go right straight there and no devil be there. She could have said it and it would have happened. You understand what I'm saying? But what did she say? I want the salvation of my two boys. Something more important than anything else. She had, that was a display. This is a display of sons coming to adoption where found in them is the ability to speak anything, but they don't deviate from the plan of God.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Amen.
See? And so this Mount Transfigurations was a preview of what's going to happen at the end time, where God's sons are going to be adopted into power, but they're going to keep right on moving with God's plan, and they won't break it. They won't be selfish. They won't do things for themselves. They'll do it according to the mind and plan of God, because they've got it. You say, you know, and you say, well, you know, she didn't know she had the right choice. I don't know what to ask for. She's out, and you might say, I don't know what to ask for. But you got to begin to realize that God, this is a plan He's laid out. And even when you don't know what to ask for, you're going to ask for the right thing. You're going to do the right thing. Why? Because you're some great person in yourself? No, because there's a seed gene down inside you that's making it so. That in this terrible time right now, when the world will try to change your genetic and make you out to be something you're not, all you're going to be able to do is be who you are as a believer. And when that time comes and God says, all right, they're ready, and He adopts them, puts that power upon them, they'll go right on fulfilling the plan of God and never do something selfish. Always be for others. Always be for the plan of God. I put it that way. Because there might come a time where He says, okay, my sons, speak your body change. He might do that. And then you say, well, that'd be selfish, so I won't leave it at all. Say, we'll stay with the plan of God, whatever it is. And so, Brother Ben tells us there, when this Mount Transfiguration happened, you know, Moses shows up, Elijah shows up, and I like to present it this way, that when Peter's like, oh, this is great. This is great. We got a new movement going on here in the land. And Jesus, you've come here. Man, you're straightening things out. And even Moses and Elijah, they're all testifying to this. And so we're going to make three denominations, or we're going to make some sort of statue or whatever to point to this. And one's going to be for Moses, and one's going to be for Elijah, and one for Christ. He got this big idea, man, we got a program now. The whole world's going to come to this denomination. We're going to set this thing up and fix it all up. And the Moses that we've believed all this time, he was here testifying to it. And Elijah's here. We know him to be a major prophet. And so we're going to have us a system. And while he's blabbing all that nonsense, which was contrary to the word of God, the voice of God said, hush up, Peter. This is me paraphrasing. Hush up. Don't listen to that nonsense. Listen to Christ.
Yeah.
And here's what Brother Ram said about it. He said, Moses represented the law. And the law, the only thing the law could do is throw you into hell, throw you into condemnation, to tell you you're a sinner. But the law had nothing it could do to take you out of that prison of sin. So all these people want to keep the law, you're in prison. Because you're not freeing yourself by trying to live the law. The law just condemns us all, and that's what it was there for, was to condemn us. So Moses represented the law, and Peter's like, all right, let's keep the doctrine of Moses alive. We want to be able to, you know. And then here, Brother Ben said, here's Elijah. He represented the justice of God, judgment coming. So here's Moses condemn you as a sinner, and then now we got this tool called the fire of God that Elijah called down from heaven, and now you're going to be burned up. So with Moses and Elijah, all you got is you're going to be burned up. Because nobody's going to escape the law, and everybody's going to be burned up by the fire of God, because Elijah's going to call it down on you.
Yeah.
Follow me? But that was not the plan of God when grace came into view.
Right.
So the scripture said there at Mount Transfiguration, when they looked up, they saw no one, no man, except Jesus. So what he's trying to tell you is that it wasn't God's plan to condemn people and burn them up, but that was there as a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. And now when you come to Christ, all that other stuff that goes off the scene. When you're living in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, all that other stuff, that condemnation of the Moses sitting there condemning you and Elijah threatening you, all that goes away when you walk with God. And that was the plan that God had, was there. And so he was showing that at Mount Transfiguration. But what I want to tell you there, so the answer there at Mount Transfiguration wasn't Peter's idea, but it was Christ.
Right.
Christ in adoption. So that was a type of here at the end time. So here at the end time, what's going to happen? When God's people come to adoption, are they going to be all about law? Are they all going to be all about the justice of God? See, that's not what we need. That's not what the world needs. What they need is Christ.
Right.
What they need, and I'll say it this way, what they need to see is the sons of God in adoption.
Yes.
That's what the world needs to see now.
Amen.
Not the condemnation. And so I'll tie it back to Job. Not justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. Not all the debates that took place with all those comforters, not all that denomination of debates and all that. What they need is a revelation. They need to see Christ.
Amen.
And that's what Job saw. And when Job saw Christ, it settled his issues. And that's what this world needs to see. They need to see you and I in full adoption. I understand we need to see arrest. Yes, we need to see this, all this election nonsense, every question answered. We need to see all that fixed. I understand it in natural, but what they need, because that's not going to fix it. You could go back and redo that election and find out whatever, whoever won and all that kind of stuff, and settle every question where everybody says, okay, I'm okay with results. I know now everything's fine. It still won't fix it, because that's not where it comes from. Is coming for sons coming to adoption, where the seed that's laying in this people, the bride of Christ, the sons of God, laying there under pressures, and much of the time without inspiration maybe, but knowing who we are.
Right.
And at some point, the lightning's going to flash, the thunder's going to roll, and it's going to be what we know it is promised to be. So that's what people need to see. They don't need to see wisdom. They don't need to see knowledge. They don't need to see works. They don't need to see a big church, another big fancy religion, or nothing like that. They just need to know. They need to see people who know who they are, that exhibits the spoken word in their life. Amen. And so no matter what we go through, the bride will come forth as gold.
Amen.
You follow me?
Amen.
Amen. And I told you I was going to get you out early. Amen. So we'll let Brother Tim come. Lord bless you. Proving the seed. That will prove the seed. That all the conditions of the hour. He said, oh, look how tough it is. Yeah, it's tough. But it's only designed to do one thing, and that's to make the sons of God come to full expression of Christ in Him alone. And that don't happen. And so I'll say this, as Brother Tim getting a song together, that seed doesn't reach off out in and get the culture, and it doesn't, you know, maybe it's going through a drought. It doesn't let the drought, it doesn't try to draw from that. It draws from the gene within it to be what it is. And we're not going to draw from the scares of society and all the social nonsense and all that. We're going to draw from the seed that's within us that amens this word, that agrees with this word, that is this word alive in us growing. That's what we're going to nurture and we're going to, you know, express. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to speak the word of God to your people. We thank you for your Holy Spirit to come and allow us just to look in through this word, Lord, and see into the eternity of God and into your plan. We thank you, Lord. We just ask, God, that you'd help us just to go forth, retain these things. May it change our lives, Lord. May we be ever so attentive to your word and not anything else, Lord, but to hear what you're saying about us, Lord, that we could believe that Lord, that, that somehow through that, that character of your being is formed within us to 100%. Lord, we're longing for that. Your prophet said that when you look out and see a tree and it's growing for life, and animals, they've grown for life, and we people, we've grown for life, and it's something struggling, trying to live, and we groan, Lord, to be able to be in a situation and in a life and in an environment, Lord, where your word lives without restrictions, Lord, that we could just freely express ourselves. We know that you've got that for us, and so we're asking, God, that you just continue to let us grow in your grace and in knowledge, and that these mechanics to all get in place, Lord, that you bring your dynamics to us. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Yes, lift him up, lift the name of Jesus higher. Lift him up, raise his banner to the sky. He said, if I be lifted up, I He said.